Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every game, every week from a punting perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn. This is the Round 19 preview. We went 2-0 on our best bets in Round 18. We also won our mixed matchup at $2 odds. Penrith to outscore Cronulla. If you're having 100 on every best bet and mixed matchup, your profit is up over 2,500. We lost our one and only multi, bit cruel. We needed Campbell Graham to score a try. Cops a head knock after laying on the assist in the final game against the Doggies. Doesn't come back on, so that falls short. You're still up plus 3 units on multis this season. Overall, 44 winners, 22 losses. That's 67% on best bets, which again is crazy. I actually posted a 4-minute audio clip that I took from an American punting podcast that I massively respect. And it was all about professional punting stake strategy, the use of the Kelly Criterion formula, winning percentages for professional punters, how to deal with losing streaks. I think it's a really valuable 4 minutes. So I clipped it and also added some graphics for you. And that's an announcement in the Tripod group. I really think must listen for anybody that wants to take seriously long-term profitable punting. In that 4 minutes, they talk about how the pros aim to win 55%, but realistically are happy to be winning 54%. So, I mean, if you're getting tips and you're happy that every 5 losses, as long as you can find 6 winners, you're ahead of the game. Remember, of course, we don't get $2 odds, but if you're winning 6 for every 5 losses, you're still ahead and you're still making profit long term. People do that professionally. On this pod this year, every 5 losses I've given, I've shared 10 winners. That's insane. I don't mean to brag. I'm really just trying to say that I don't think I can continue this, but here we are previewing round 19 and we're still on that track. So it's been an awesome year. Let's keep it going with 3 more best bets for round 19. 2 on the first game I'll share right now, as I always do, best bets in the first 5 minutes. Rabbitohs minus 17.5, $1.90 on Ladbroke Sportsbet and Neds, playing the New Zealand Warriors at the Sunshine Coast, and additionally take the Rabbitohs minus 8.5 on the second half line. Best price $1.93 on Unibet, also $1.90 on Ladbrokes and Neds. The Rabbits come into this virtually full strength. Campbell Graham will have to pass the protocol, but other than that, Latrell joins this team as well. I think the Bunnies are about to make a surge, and compared to New Zealand, I could see them start to spiral now. They are very depleted, very cruel. They lost Tohu Harris and Wade Egan for the season. Their captain RTS is also out for this one with a head knock. Even who they've got playing like Townsend, Nikarima, these guys have had injuries very recently. I think they're playing through injury. I thought the Warriors were extremely brave last week against us and against our best bet with the Panthers, but they were just so depleted. Their top 8 hopes are slipping away. This is a side that's been away from home for a long time as well. Now let's look at the Rabbitohs, a side that loves to use the footy, that is coming off a mediocre display. I like that because I think there's a better chance that South Sydney will be sharper. I think it could be a long afternoon for New Zealand on the sunny coast. Now, this is 2 firsts for this season. 1, I have not played any favourites of this magnitude this year. I've been a bit gun-shy, but I really like the Rabbitohs' chances, so that's a first. And taking a second half line here. Now, I've talked a lot about when I want to oppose a big favourite, I often will look for the underdogs in the first half line if I think there's value there. So I'm going to use that exact same logic, but in reverse. So I'm going to take a big favourite in the Bunnies here to cover the second half line for an additional best bet. If New Zealand shows up and fights the Bunnies in this one, which I don't think will happen for sure, but if it does, they've got to start strong. So I definitely think in any case that the Bunnies win well, they're going to extend their winning margin more likely in the second stanza. That's why I like that as a best bet as well. On that note, my third best bet for this round is the Panthers minus 9.5 on the second half line at $1.88 on Unibet and the next best available $1.80 on Ladbrokes and Neds. They are playing Brisbane at Suncorp Stadium. Now, the Panthers get back Jerome Luai. I think they're going to be way too good for Brisbane. That's not saying a lot. The line is minus 19.5. And I do think the Panthers will cover that line as well. I just think the second half play in this case is the stronger of the two options. And I think Penrith, as I just referenced before, we bet on them last week. Look, they were solid for us. They covered the line well against New Zealand, but they weren't outstanding. As I said, New Zealand was very battered. So I think Penrith have room to improve, and they should improve getting their origin half back in the mix. We all know Nathan Cleary is still not there, but I actually think that gives this Panthers team a bit of a point to prove that they're far beyond a one-man team. And don't forget that last time they played Brisbane at this same venue, they actually got a scare. So I actually think that plays well into Penrith's hands, that they should be a lot more improved and it shouldn't be close against Brisbane, a side that I have no faith in. I don't have faith in their resolve. They just let in 42 points at home to Wests. What are they going to do against Penrith? Not to mention we know how feeble Brisbane can be in second halves especially. So those are my three best bets. I've got plenty of thoughts on all the other games, some other sides I lean to, or a couple games I would play maybe if I had a little bit more information that I'll talk about. I have a super juicy mixed matchup that you have to wait a little bit longer for as well. And it's a little bit different this week, but I think you will like it. And I certainly do. And a bonus 10-1 Olympics custom bet that I've come up with as well. Trying to come up with unique markets for big sporting events to give us a bit more fun, a bit more interest in these events, but only always as a value price, which I have found, and that's going to be on top of you as well, but we'll get to that. I want to thank everybody who gave me feedback or voted for their preferred pod length, and it's been quite resounding that people don't mind it being a little bit longer, which I appreciate because it just doesn't put the pressure on me to feel I have to cut things out. I can just pretty much share everything that I think is of high importance or interest. And hopefully make a high quality show. Trust me, I never aim for a certain amount of minutes to hit. I always try and keep it tight. So nothing's really going to change from my end. You know, if the pod is 30 minutes one week, it doesn't mean I cut it back. It just means that's how much quality I had for that week. So I appreciate everyone that did weigh in. And I know people still like it shorter. Some people do. That's why the best bets are always at the front. And then just listen to as much as you can. It's really up to you how much you enjoy it. But I appreciate that people do. And also I appreciate the support that has come through regarding me proposing that for me to keep the pod going, I will be searching for a little bit more sponsorship beyond this season. I'm not in a rush to kind of lock anything in. And it's not a case of, you know, the highest bidder. So I'll put up the contact details again, tripodbetting@gmail.com. I want to have a bit of time, weigh this up, what companies have to offer, but also like what is the product, what is the service, what is the company that I want to align with and that I can feel good about promoting and that could be providing value to followers. I've said before, like if I was just in this to maximize the money I can make from my ability to find these tips, I would not probably do this for free. But I really have a big belief in what I do and what we have done, Alex and I, for 7 years with the tripod, to grow this audience, grow this community in a sustainable way. And that's why I also say, feel free to still reach out as I am still kind of weighing up what we do. I touched on this in the recap, but it's like, trust me, the tripod is a full-time job in terms of the amount of hours and effort that goes in. But I also have another job. I also have a young family. So it's like, I just need to personally make a decision. What's the best use of my time? Because whatever I put my time into, I always give 100%. But it's just about what will I be putting everything into in the near future. So it's exciting times. Hopefully that we can still find support and keep this thing going because it's been an awesome 2021, that's for sure. And of course, on that note, I am here for a big reason because I was able to find a major sponsor for 2021. That's Top Sports. I do owe them a lot and I appreciate that. So let's throw to Top Sport now. Tristan, with his look towards round 19 before we dive into it.
Hey punters, it's Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport. We got another round of NRL coming back. We're back to a little bit of normality this week with all the teams set in stone. No origin implications, which is good for both the punter and the bookie, as you know what you're up against. So we've got some very wide numbers this week, and I think we've only got the one game under 10-point start, which is the Dragons v Titans game, which has seen a little bit of money for the Dragons at the plus. All the other games are in the double-digit numbers, and they've been predominantly favourites well back. There's been a lot of those moves already, 2, 3, 4 points for your teams like your Melbourne. They've moved from 25 to 28. The Rabbits have gone from 15.5 out to 17.5. Manly 16.5 out to 18.5. So all one-way traffic at the moment, which has been the story of the season for all those short price favourites, where a lot of them have been moving in that direction for the majority of the week. It's been an amazing run by the Storm. They've been starting double-digit favourites most games in recent times. In particular, this week, they're 28.5 point favourites against the Cowboys right at the moment. They've had an unbelievable run in terms of covering the spread. It's been phenomenal. You've got to remember that these spreads have been a lot higher than what they've been in other years. They're also still not at full strength. They're at 28.5 point favourites this week, and they're probably missing three or four of their starting guns as well. So it's a bit scary as a Panthers fan seeing what they're going to be able to do come the when the whips are cracking, but who knows what's going to happen in a few months' time. But they're certainly getting the job done. They're so clinical, and I haven't seen a team be able to perform like that for many a year. We've got the Olympics starting as well in the next couple of days, and Jacob's put up a little special for the punters, so make sure you jump on that and have a look. It'll give you interest for the entire duration of the games. You'll be able to cheer the Aussies home, which I know you'll all want to do, and the other thing is you'll be able to cheer against the Americans, which I know a few of you'll probably like doing as well. So jump on there, it's a little bit of fun and hopefully a bit of value for the punters, and I can't wait for the games. We've got a stack of markets up. We've got every single event we can think of up there. We've been putting plenty of hours into it. So jump on there, see if you can pick us apart, and good luck to everyone involved. Gamble responsibly.
There you go. Tristan's also given a little teaser on the Olympics market. Don't worry, just like any mixed matchup every week, or the 15-1 regular season multi, which is now like a 50-50 to hit, or the $6.50 Euro tip that I came up with that we won a couple weeks ago on. It's a fixed price bet, this Olympics bet. So I've told you it's 10-1. So it's still going to be there when you finish watching this. It'll still be there anytime between now and when the Olympic Games get underway this weekend. And I'll talk a little bit more about it later. Now, one other thing Tristan touched on there that I wanted to just kind of touch on as well, the dominance of the Melbourne Storm. I know I already posted this graphic that's up now on the Tripod page, and in the recap I talked about it, but just it really is unprecedented what this Melbourne Storm team is doing, not just winning, but the covering at this rate. And I'm not even talking about just in the NRL in my memory, but across any major sports, you don't get teams that win this profoundly, but are also covering the lines, because they are usually the worst value teams to back because everyone wants to back them. And yet the Storm are bucking that trend, and they are making you a lot of money if you're backing them blindly. And there's something about them, I mean, as well as the fact Tristan touched on, they're not even full strength, but there's a ruthlessness behind this Melbourne Storm side that it doesn't matter if it's 0-0 or they're up 30-0, they have a desperation about their defense. And their attack has just evolved. You know, the Melbourne Storm of old was this boa constrictor that got in front and was hard to run down. And now it's a record-breaking attack. So it's quite preposterous to watch, really. But one thing I definitely recognise is greatness when I see it. And I think that the short odds for the Melbourne Storm that they've come into to win the competition, to make the grand final, are fairly justified when you consider the depth. And I'll talk a bit more about who's in and who's out this week for Melbourne. Not that it seems to matter, they just are so incredibly consistent. So on that note, yesterday I actually shared out a futures play on the NRL that was a quinella, and it was for the grand final rematch. That was my prediction in the preseason, Melbourne and Penrith, the redo. And although in the preseason I said I think Panthers can turn the tables on them, that's going to be a hard proposition. But $3.50 was a tip. Let me know what you think about that. There was a bit of debate. Plenty of people liked it and some people questioned it. Of all the people that knocked it, and fair enough, some people giving a chance for Manly to maybe make the grand final, or maybe the Bunnies to make a run. And I am not ruling those teams out. As I kind of laid out, I really just think $3.50 is a juicy price, and I don't think that price is going to extend any further. So if you think it's going to be a rematch of Melbourne and Penrith, maybe jump on that now. I think the biggest possible reason that that wouldn't be the grand final, the biggest thing that would stop these teams making it, is each other. I really think the biggest reason this wouldn't happen is if these two ended up on the same side of the draw and met in a prelim, and then of course it can't happen. So I think failing that, yet I feel really good about, usually in finals games you're going to say, well, anything can happen, but in the past you wouldn't have a lot of finals games where one team was like more than a 6-point favorite. But I just think in these newer times, with the new rules, with the level that Penrith displayed to us in the first kind of 14 rounds of the season, and the level that the Storm have showed in the last 14 rounds, they are a cut above, and therefore you actually may be finding value, as I think I have, in playing the chalk and the most likely grand final right now. It may only get shorter. So let me know what you reckon about that too. It doesn't mean I'm ruling out everybody else, and things can still happen. I know 2 years ago, people were basically saying, or actually last year after the COVID break, people were saying, hand the trophy to the Roosters now. They're just too good. Got to remember the Roosters were off back-to-back premierships and were going gangbusters after COVID. The Roosters didn't even make the prelim. So yeah, things can change, but right now, the way it looks to me, it does look like we could get an epic 2020 grand final redo. So I thought that was value to jump on at $3.50 on Sportsbet. Let's jump into round 19. It begins with the Eels hosting the Raiders at Cbus Stadium. The Raiders are plus 15.5 point underdogs. The news about Mitchell Moses has come out yesterday as well, which actually slightly benefits, of course, the chance that that it's a Penrith-Melbourne grand final, just because that really hurts the Eels. Although we don't know the severity yet, but a back fracture, scary stuff for Mitchell Moses. And, you know, I think that does show how impressive it was that he stayed on the field for the majority of the time. I know people want to rip into him. I'm not going to be someone who will do that. He sustained that injury in Origin 3, obviously. This Jacob Arthur, he's a very raw kid. I don't really see him like some of the other young playmakers that are emerging into the competition that I'm worried about. I really feel like he's just a player that slots in and does his job. But Dylan Brown is a star, and Reed Marnie is absolute quality. So now the attack really runs between those two and Gutho as well. Junior Paulo returns to the Eels, as does Fergo, gets a recall. Seemed to be totally out of favour, but he's back in there now. As for the Raiders, super resurgence by them in the last couple of weeks. Double-digit wins over Manly and the Sharks. That's no joke. That's beating two teams that were playing good footy themselves. But it is such a shame from Canberra's perspective that they've had brutal injuries recently, and they were already getting thinned out through this season. But the latest being Jack Whiten, rib injury. Whitehead is still out as well. And probably saddest one of all, Savage, who was outstanding for him in the win over the Sharkies last week. The young 18-year-old and 19-year-old speedster, excitement machine, he's hurt his shoulder and is out for the season. Rapana would be the fifth choice fullback now. He's going to play at the back there for them this weekend. So that's, you know, obviously not good. That's further disruption to the outside backs. I mean, if there any chance guys like Hodgson, Harawira Naira, Hudson Young, Tapene were all massive in their win last week, if they're going to beat the Eels, they're going to have to be even better. I certainly can't touch the Raiders with all those key position players that they are short. So I lean to the Parramatta and to the line, but it has just crept out probably a bit too far for me to play it with 60% or more confidence, so I'll pass. Moving to Friday, the Roosters play the Knights at the Sunny Coast, and the Knights catching plus 11.5. So Teddy was out last week. He got a rest after Origin. And as I touched on in the recap, it was anybody's game up there in Townsville. The Roosters Cowboys was 18-all with a few minutes to go. The final score flattered Sydney a bit, but it was still a solid win. Now you bring back Tedesco into the team. Yes, it looks like they might give J-Moz a rest, but even this Billy Smith that they've got that's come back from injury playing in the centres is a talented kid as well. So they don't lose a lot. Of course, Suali won't take any further part this season. And yet, still a very strong Roosters side. TKO boosts the forward pack as well. Newcastle were absolutely awful in their match against Melbourne last week and lost by 40 points. The best thing I can say about the Knights is this fact that it was against the Storm, and the Storm's in the midst of one of the hottest runs of form you've ever seen, as we've talked about. So, you know, normally if you're watching footy with a couple months till finals and you're watching a team get smoked by 40 plus, you could actually say, well, that's not a finals team. But this year, with these rules, with how much of a juggernaut the Storm are, and what a low bar there has been set to make the finals, you can't write off the Knights, in my view. I think they're still going to be in the mix to make the top eight, despite everything. So the biggest issue that Newcastle has, in my view, is not that loss to the Storm, which is very predictable. It's losing Pearce in the lead-up, and he's still out with a hamstring complaint. So Phoenix Crossland will partner Jake Clifford in the halves. Big one for me here is Ponga and Clemmer, both named to play for the Knights, but both failed HIAs during the match last week. I think you need a minimum of 5 days to get through the protocol, and this is going to be a six-day turnaround, so it's a tough one. Particularly Ponga is so crucial. When I look at this game, I'd give the Knights a chance if he's in, and I give him next to no chance if he's out. I should mention Daniel Saifidi, though, the Origin prop, of course, and one of their many captains. He is going to be a boost, and you could be forgiven for forgetting that Frizzell rejoined the Knights last week because he didn't have a great impact, as no Knights player really did, but he's still a very key forward for the Knights. So I look at this game, line above 10 feels too high to me, potentially a quality match of footy, but you guys know I've been burned one too many times back in the Knights and having Ponga scratched. Until I know for sure that he's going to clear that HIA, I just couldn't touch Newcastle. So stay tuned, I suppose. I try to share every best bet that I'm going to have on a Wednesday night, but I always leave that option available that I could add an extra best bet before the games kick off. It'll be in the Tripod group and on the Tripod app. Moving to the later game Friday night, it is that phenomenal Melbourne Storm side that are 28.5 point favourites against the Cowboys in Townsville. As we know, Valentine Holmes is out for the season. The silver lining being that the Hammer gets moved to fullback, and he's an excitement machine as well. They were dealt a further blow, though, with Jarvid Bowen copping an ACL injury and clearly out for the season. Now, the Cowboys, I said for our regular season multi, won't make the eight. They're $1.02 to miss the eight, so that's not a sure thing, but it's getting pretty close, which is crazy when you look at the ladder and you see that North Queensland are only actually 2 points lower than the Sharks. But when you look a little closer, I guess, and you see their points differential is by far the worst of all, probably seven teams that are in the mix. Their form is really poor of late. You've lost Holmes on top of course, we can't forget they lost Michael Morgan earlier this season, and their draw, and you look at who they've got this weekend. It's not looking good for the Cowboys, let's say that. Now let's talk about their opponent, the Melbourne Storm. Pappenhausen is back. He is currently named on the interchange, but you know how Bellamy likes to keep people guessing. Your guess is as good as mine. Does Pappenhausen, in fact, start at one? Does he swap in there for Nicho Hynes? Does Pappenhausen play 20, 40, 60 the whole game? I'm just highlighting that. Not that it really matters because how Hynes has been so good, but more for you guys, for your same game multis, your anytime try scorers. That's a risk you're taking on because you don't know how many minutes these guys are going to get and what position. As for Hynes, he may even get a bit of time at 5-8 with Munster getting a rest. Finucane, Kalfusi also get a rest. These guys all played Origin, but backed up last week. While Addo-Karr, he got his rest last week. And I'll just reference him because he's on 98 career tries. Shout out to Harry in our group who actually suggested backing him for a double last week and then he got scratched. Maybe you look at that again this week because you could see a scenario where he gets to 99 and if they're clearly dominating this game, there could be that extra effort to get him to triple figures. And you talk about who's out in that three Origin players arrested, but Christian Welsh also comes back in, another Origin player who sat out last week, and Big Nelson, an international forward, is brought back in. So it's pretty a bit of luxury when you can rest three Origin players and arguably strengthen your team the same week. We move to Super Saturday. We have three straight games with favourites of 18 points or more. And as you know, I've got a best bet on the Rabbitohs playing the Warriors at the Sunshine Coast. And on a graphic, I've got 18.5 because I've got the Bet365 odds. But I think half the bookies available still have 17.5, $1.90. And I'm also going to jump on the second half line. Again, everybody has minus 8.5 second half for the Rabbitohs. But best price, $1.93 on Uni. Next best, $1.90, Ladbrokes. And Ned's story, because this reminds me of when the Rabbitohs and the Warriors met on the Sunshine Coast as well in 2018. And it was a mate's Bucks weekend. Shout out to the Bareback Bandit, Heathy, Alex. If you remember, Alex and I had a multi on together. There was a bookie that at the time was still letting one of us get some bets on. And we put a multi on together. It was all looking good. We stood to win 30K. The final leg of that multi was the Warriors to beat Souths. We were at the game. Beautiful Saturday afternoon of footy there. And we just needed the Warriors to win. The Warriors were up 24-12. They made a break. RTS dropped the ball. A chance to go up 30-12. Bunnies scored three late tries. Of course they did. Good times. Cheers, Alex, if you're listening. Last round, we had two close games that you'd consider 50-50. The Sharks Raiders and the Tigers Broncos. And then we had six with a clear favorite. And of those clear favorites, the first five of them all covered the line and won 13 plus. The sixth one was the Bunnies, who were 26 point favorites against the Dogs and only won by eight. So I wonder if they let a few people down who like to back the big guns. I, of course, did my recap just before that Dogs-Bunnies game. So just to touch on it, I was actually pleasantly surprised that it turned out to be more competitive than anticipated. The score was tied at halftime. Speaking of halftime, that incident with Lockie Lewis, just bizarre, and that did really hurt the Dogs. Now, losing Johnston did hurt the Bunnies, I've got to say. It's a real shame that he's hurt his hammy because he had a big chance to win the Ken Irvine medal back-to-back seasons. I think Alex Johnston is still five tries ahead of Addo-Karr, so depending on the severity, there's a chance it could still happen. But my big takeaway from South's Dogs was that the Doggies fought hard. They scored a fluky try late that made it a bit closer than it really was. And I didn't take anything away from Souths. Just as I've discussed before, they're not a side that goes into every week guns blazing. Latrell was rested, but he's back this week. Mansour's in for Johnston. You don't lose a lot. And Jai Arrow back from suspension. Of course, the Warriors, on the other hand, just had a brutal match against the Panthers. RTS out, Harris, Egan, Berry out as well. I think they're incredibly brave. I just don't think that they're going to be able to get up again and play equally as big of a challenge in the Bunnies. So as I discussed for the best bet, I think it's going to be a big Bunnies win there. That's why I'm on them full-time and second-half line. Moving to the second match on the Super Saturday, Manly play West at Suncorp. Both these teams were in the winner's circle last week, but Manly are gaining back Tom Trbojevic, Jake Trbojevic, and DCE. The Tigers, on the other hand, they're unchanged from their win. Now, the Tigers need to be wary that last time they won a couple of games, they beat a depleted Penrith, they beat a depleted Dragons. They got a bit too cocky and they came crashing back to earth. So I hope that West don't think beating Brisbane makes them a good team all of a sudden. They are going to have to elevate significantly to get close to Manly on Saturday. I also recall these two teams meeting at Wank Best 10 weeks ago, roughly, and the line was Manly minus 6. You look now, they're meeting, and the line's minus 18 and a half. So it is kind of crazy how far these sides have separated. But if you remember that day, Manly absolutely ripped Tigers apart, scored a bunch of long-range tries, flogged them on that afternoon, and have emerged ever since. Genuine competition threat. Tom Trbojevic putting together one of the great individual seasons. I touched on, in the recap that they won last week, Manly, without Tom. It's not all Tom. You've got some young gun forwards, Schuster, Olakau'atu, Paseka, but clearly when they have Tom on the field as well, everyone seems to grow another leg too. So it's an exciting side. And I touched on Mitchell Moses news coming out before. You've got to probably acknowledge that opens the door for a top four spot, which is also valuable. So valuable if you really want to have a shot to win the competition. So I think Manly have their sights set on that. And if Parramatta do falter, it's where a side like Manly is the obvious team that could come up and take that spot. As for West, I watched this Tales of Tiger Town, Wild West. I thought it was really cool. Let me know if you guys enjoyed it. I love that kind of stuff, so I was always going to watch it. I really enjoy Hard Knocks, which is like the NFL version. I will say I commend West for allowing it, despite the fact that they knew this was going to be a challenging season. Of course, watching that episode on Monday night, thanks for reminding me that we had Raiders plus 10.5. against the West in round one, and it was 6-6 at halftime, looking good, and then they fell apart. That was a nice reminder, and I think I backed it up and took West in round two, and they got smoked by the Roosters. So always good to remember that. Just throw out one other thought, the reason I bring up that documentary. I just actually wonder if the fact that they have a documentary team within the walls and all this scrutiny and magnifying glass on them all the way, or microscope on them all the way through 2021, is that actually an increase of motivation? Maybe reduction in the chance that this team is going to just give up because they are still being watched by the NRL world, and this is all still going to get published. Everything they do and say and what they put out in the field is going to kind of live on. So sometimes you see teams, and the Tigers would be a classic kind of candidate for that this year, that before the season or early season, they think they can make the eight. It doesn't go their way. With 6 weeks to go in the year, they're sitting like 14th, and they just want the season to end, and it's very visible in their play that they just can't wait to get to Bali. And that would be the West potentially this year, but maybe they fight all the way. I don't know. It doesn't mean I'm not going to bet against West for the rest of the year, but it's just a theory. I'd like to know what you guys reckon. In this particular game, I definitely think Manly will be far too good for them. Just couldn't quite lay over 18 points, but I am still going to try and find a way that we can profit from that. So that's a little foreshadowing ahead. But moving to Penrith against Brisbane at Suncorp, and you've got my best bet there, minus 9.5. Second half bet, $1.88 it is on Unibet. Still also available, Ladbrokes and Neds. So last time Penrith and Brisbane met was earlier this year. I was actually at Suncorp that night, and to my surprise, it was 12-12 with 8 minutes to go. And I really think the only reason Penrith won that game was because they had Nathan Cleary. He was outstanding and some massive kicks as well as a two-point field goal in that game and a late try gets them home. Now, he is out this week, but Jerome Luai is a massive inclusion. I know to some people's chagrin, Tyrone May remains a seven and they switch Burton back to left center, but it again strengthens that left edge for Penrith. Fisher Harris appeared to cop an injury last week, which would have been a worry for any Penrith fans out there that think they can win the comp this year, and certainly they still have a chance despite how good Melbourne are. But Fisher Harris is named this week, so that's a bit of a relief. This injury can't be too serious. Whether or not they need him this week is debatable. As I said, Brisbane is naming a similar side to the one that gave up 42 at home to West. I think they shuffle the bench around. Ricky and Flegler are starting this week. Also talked about in the recap, Katoni Staggs joining this team has provided a boost, but you're still lost by 18 points to the Tigers. So he can't do this on his own. So for the third straight game, I like the heavy favourite, particularly Rabbitohs and Panthers, but I even had a lean to Manly. I don't want any part of backing against Penrith now that all the Origin players are back, besides Cleary. They're still a really strong team. And I don't want any part of Brisbane being on them right at the moment based on what they're showing me. So if you're going to try and say that Brisbane has the blueprint for how to match it with Penrith because of what happens last time, I would actually argue that's advantage to Penrith because they know what not to let Brisbane do or how Brisbane exposed them and even got close last time. And I think it's almost a motivating factor to not let it be that close. And let's not forget on that given game, Tevita Pangai Jr. was excellent for the Broncos. He's now released. Brisbane also had Pat Carrigan, Matt Lodge, Xavier Coates. None of those guys are lining up. I understand, obviously, as I mentioned, Staggs is back. But I don't see this as the kind of game that Katoni Staggs is going to thrive because I think Penrith could absolutely smother Brisbane here. And to reuse a phrase that I use about Melbourne, I think Penrith could be a bit more ruthless in this game. They probably should have put New Zealand more to the sword last week and maybe they'll do it this week. And that would be excellent for my mixed matchup, which I'm mixing up a bit this week. And we're going a little bit more creative, a little bit different, but I think we're still getting outstanding value, calling it Slayer Saturday. I thought to myself, it's not often that I like these big favourites, and it's a bit of a shame that we've got potentially three mismatches on a Saturday. What if we make it fun, and what if we can profit from it? So my bet for this week for the mixed matchup is the Rabbitohs, the Seagulls, and the Panthers to win by a combined 60-plus points, paying $3.25, and you can have up to 100 on that. So the lines for these games are right all basically around 18. So if you combine those three lines, they should, or 50% of the time, they should be covering across three games by about 55 points. I'm asking them to do a little bit beyond that and win by 60 combined. And even though I've said those three need to win by 60 combined, it can be made up in any given way, any which way. So there even is a possibility that one of the three gets upset and loses by a try or whatever. But in another game, we get somebody wins by 40 and kind of offsets that. So who knows how many points we're going to need Penrith to win by when it comes to that third game. But I reckon there's big blowout potential in all three, and we get to cheer these heavyweights to score a ton of points and extend their winning margins on Saturday. So I really like that at $3.25 for value for this week's mixed matchup. Let's move to Sunday. The Dragons play the Titans, and Dragons are listed first. It should have been their home game, but in fact, it's going to be played at Cbus, which is the Titans' home ground, as we know. Very tough loss for the Dragons last week. They were in the game most of the time against Manly. The first thing that stands out to me when I look at the team list this week is it kind of looks to me like this is an all-in game for St. George, because they have so many options with the barbecue gate. There were 12 players implicated now. Of course, Vaughan is gone. Alvaro and Lomax are in this limbo, but you still had 9 other players to serve suspensions across 4 games. And from what I can tell, the only one player who won't play this weekend and will serve suspension is Corey Norman. To me, it feels like with the likes of DeBellin, Maguire, Kerr, Bird, Beal all playing this week, it makes it look like they're targeting this match as a very winnable one and an all-in effort, and then they might be inclined to actually force the suspension on a few of those key players next week when they play the Rabbitohs, when they see it as a much harder match to find to try and get 2 points in anyway. So having said that, although they don't have a lot of players serving suspension, the backline is quite reshuffled for the Dragons. Dufty comes in, Feagai comes back from injury, Bird switches to the back row, and this young talented Jaden Sullivan will come in and partner Ben Hunt in the halves. On the Titans side of the ledger, they've lost Jamal Fogarty, Aaron Clark, and Philip Sammy to injuries last week, and they were poor as anybody in their performance against the Eels. Very disappointing. This rookie Sexton comes into play halfback while Taylor stays at 5'8". And yet, the top eight is still not out of reach for the Titans, and I think I've said this 3 times this season already. I'll say it again. Season on the line for the Titans this weekend. They have to win. They have to beat the Dragons, and if they do, they still could improbably make the eight. Now, this is a Sunday game. They're both off a 9-day turnaround. Huge stakes involved because the Dragons are in the eight trying to stay there. And as I said, the Titans could salvage what's been a poor year so far if they could get there. And with the rep players that they have and the ability that they have, they really should be pushing to make it there. When I look at these teams, of course, if it was purely judging on 2021 form, you would say, why are the Titans favourites? But in my mind, I still think they are the stronger team and it's being played on their home ground. So I think the line is about right and the Titans should win this game. I can't take them because I don't think we're getting like a lot of value on the Titans, and I've just spoken about how this could be an all-in game for the Dragons. And one thing I worried about with the Dragons after the big scandal was, could the squad implode? But they showed me enough in that first kind of hour of the match against Manly that they are still fighting. I think this is the game of the round. I think Tristan talked about how it's the only game of the round that's not double-digit lines, so let's hope that it is an entertaining contest. You never want to lay points in a game that could go all the way down to the wire, which this could, but hopefully the Titans will get a win. It will help our regular season multi. Finally, the Dogs play the Sharks at Cbus, and the Dogs were very brave in their loss to Bunnies last week. Thanks a lot, Canterbury. 3 weeks ago, I backed you. You lost 66-0 to Manly. And then the following 2 weeks, you lose by 6 to the Roosters and you lose by 8 to the Bunnies. Way better effort. Marshall King returns from suspension. No major changes for Cronulla. They lost to the Raiders last week, which was good for us, but the game was a lot closer than the scoreline. They had themselves to blame, really, when they missed 60-plus tackles. Crazy stat about Cronulla. They're currently in the top 8, but they've already lost to the bottom side on the ladder twice. If they lose this one, that would be 3 times being in the top 8 but losing to last place. Why? Because they've already lost to the Dogs this year, and then they lost to Brisbane a few weeks later when the Broncos were last. Surely it won't happen a third time. I think Cronulla will be too good. Although the Dogs are a side that, you know, is fighting hard every week, and I think I've discussed this before, but I look at Canterbury. So what do they have to gain this year? Not much, but every week it's like more news is coming out about this strong recruitment class that's going to come in next year. A lot of legit starters are going to be joining Barrett's squad. What that really means for the individuals that are on the team in 2021, they're under a lot of pressure to perform if they want to be part of this squad when Canterbury potentially becomes a good team in the next couple of years, which is possible. So I think there's pressure to perform, but there's pressure on the Sharks to perform too. As I said, they've got to win this game and kind of consolidate the position that they have in the top eight. I just haven't quite gotten there in terms of value for a best bet, but I do lean to Cronulla to bounce back from their loss and probably cover that line. Finally, guys, the Olympics. I know it's going to be an Olympics like no other, but we want to enjoy it. And I know majority of people that follow the pod are sports fans and also love to have a punt. So that's why I've put in a bit of work to try and come up with a combination multi-market that we can all jump on and ride through the Olympics. It's going to be betting on 4 countries medal tallies or gold medal tallies. Look, I didn't comb through all 339 events, but I did analyze gold medal tally markets across a range of bookies in Australia and around the world as well to see if I could whip up some value. And here it is, $10 odds, tripod Tokyo, golden multi. We need Australia to get 10 plus gold medals. I'm calling that nearly a lock. Their over-under is about 12.5, 13.5, but to get over the Barbie half would be very short odds. But we want to be cheering the Aussies, so 10 plus gold for our compatriots. Then we're going Italy over 8.5 gold medals, or you'll see on the screen 9 plus gold medals. Why not? Italy did us a solid and won Euro, so let's keep backing them. Let's ride the hot hand. But seriously, I also chose this one because TopSport was offering Italy even money to get over 8.5 gold. But just about every other bookie, the market's showing that money is coming for the over. So I think we're better than 50-50 to win that. We'll go USA under 44 golds or under. Again, I'm seeing that market trending downwards. That's a lot of gold medals. And again, I think we're a better than 50-50 chance there. And USA is such a powerhouse nation. They've obviously got a ton of chances. If USA is the favorite or is one of the contenders in any event that you happen to switch onto, you can cheer for any other country in the world apart from Japan to win that gold medal, and it's going to be helping this bet. And I'm mixed emotions because I love the country of Japan and I didn't want to be cheering against this host nation, and I hope the Olympics go well. But this is a market play too that maybe it was overestimated by some bookmakers what the bump in gold medals would be for Japan based on the amount of prospects they've got. I've seen the Japanese gold medal tally crashing down in places too. So we're going to jump on that and get value before it drops further and take Japan 26 or under gold medals. I'll share a full reasoning for that in the Tripod group tomorrow. But check the group as well for individuals who will share tips on individual events all the way through. We can enjoy it and hopefully find value together. Thanks for tuning in. Good luck with all your punting, Olympics and NRL as well. And I'll see you on Sunday, 6 p.m. to recap. Lego.